Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. What a joy that is. What a privilege that is. What an opportunity that is. Hey, listen, can I tell you that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke chapter 19 and 10? He did. He came, friends, so that you and I might know Him with free pardon and forgiveness of sin. What a great season it is. What a great time of the year it is. What a great celebration we're having when we're celebrating the fact that He who was dead is alive, and He's alive forevermore. Thank God. Hey, I bring you good news today, friend. Jesus lives. He lives. He lives forevermore. The question is, does He live in you? You remember the old song we still sing, a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives in me. And friend, I want Him to live in you. And He wants to too, by the way. Well, look, I've opened my Bible to the book of Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read verse 33, and I'll pick up a couple others throughout the message, the good Lord willing, and you might know what I'm going to preach on, especially in light again of the season that it is. But before I do that, Deb's got a song, one of her best, one of our favorites, that she's going to do. The title of it is The Mystery of the Cross. I preached a message one time on that title long ago, and well, the Lord moved her to write this song. It's beautiful. You enjoy it. I'll be back when she's done with the message.
Stood there before Pilate, this king of the Jews. People crying out, crucify. They brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him. I'll deliver one to you, but one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story into the hands of sinful men. Then they nailed His hands and feet to the rugged cross. I can't help but wonder why why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story man had ever found? Why would a king give up his portal to come down and die for me? It's all why this king would lay down his life to bleed and die for me. I will never understand it, though this king has set me free. It's all such a great
How true, Debbie, how true, how true, how true. What a wonderful song. What a great message that is. Friend, listen, it's in the mystery of the cross. Again, I've opened my Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 33, and I'm going to read that verse, and then I'm going to share with you the message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and I trust that it's a blessing to you. Hey, listen, friend, you may have started this day headed for a Christless eternity, headed for a place prepared for the devil and his angels, headed for that place called hell. But listen, friend, in light of what Jesus did at Calvary and died not only for us but as us, in light of the fact that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, in light of the fact that, glory, hallelujah, on third and appointed morning He came out from among the dead so you and I could be justified in the sight of God, there's no reason for any man, woman, boy, or girl dying lost and going to a Christless eternity. And the Word of God says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I'm going to talk to you simply today, emphatically today, without apology. I'm going to talk to you about this, the place called Calvary, the place called Calvary. As I was praying and meditating and reading and seeking God's face about this message today, and I'll never get to preach. I mean to tell you, listen, this is an inexhaustible message. Do you hear me? As many times as I've had the privilege over the last 43 plus years to preach and to preach the gospel, to preach about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what, friend? Every time I come to the well to draw out of it and to take to some thirsty soul, some needy soul, friend, you want me to tell you what? I always find the well full. I always find it brimming to the top, available to give a drink of eternal life to whosoever will. I pray today that you partake of it. I pray today that you'll sup from that water that will satisfy. Listen, this message is exhaustless. I mean to tell you, it's exhaustless as it is eternal. When I was reading this morning, listen to what this verse says. It's power-packed. It's so wonderful. It's so perfect. And listen, it has such a pure message for you and I. The Bible said, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. Can I tell you, for some that journey was short. For some that journey started at the pavement at Gabbatha, there on Mount Olive, where that Fortress Antonio was, where Jesus had been tried, where He had been mocked and scourged and spat upon and lied about, where Pilate had even pronounced Him innocent without fault, not deserving to be crucified. I mean to tell you, friend, for some, that's where the journey began. Oh, look, but for Jesus, I'm about to have a spell right now. For Jesus, that journey started in an eternity past. Oh, when they were come to the place called Calvary, isn't that amazing? Now, I could preach about the place. I could preach about the place, and I'm going to all day, but I'm not going to preach about it all day, but it could. But I want you to notice the people. Oh, look, friend, the people that were there. Can I tell you, the most important person was Jesus Christ. You know that. He's the one that came out of eternity. He's the one that started His journey, friend, and in an in an endless eternity, in an eternity that He always has existed in. When He and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that Holy Trinity, that Godhead, got together and made a plan of salvation for mankind, whom He was going to create and bring life to Him through the breath of God into His nostrils, whom they knew would need to be redeemed by the blood. And yet Jesus said, I'll go, I'll start heaven. Oh, Lord, help us. God the Son said, I'll start toward Calvary right now. And listen, from an eternity past, God saw Jesus, friend, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Word of God says, but they finally came. All the players came. I want you to know, the Romans were there, the Jews were there, the Greeks were there. And that's why the accusation over the head of Jesus that had hung around His neck, that placard, listen, read, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And there they were. All those that were religious, all those that were powerful, all those that were intellectual and wise, their humanity had gathered that day to watch the dastardly deeds that were being done by man, to watch the wisdom of God played out and displayed in the giving of His Son Jesus for sinners like me and you. All the people that had gathered that day, the well-known, the unknown, the religious, listen, the paupers, and even some prestigious people, they were all there. They were from Galilee, from Jerusalem. I want you to know, friend, they were maybe possibly from 18 different countries around the world, but I want you to know that all of us were represented there. We were represented in the two men. The two men, friend, that were crucified that day with Jesus. Look, friend, all of this will preach. All of this will preach so long, but I've got to move on. Not only the people, but I want you to notice again the place. This place called Calvary. In the other Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and John, they refer to it as the place of a skull. Oh, it was well known. I mean, to tell you, it was noted. It wasn't the first time somebody had been crucified at this place, and there is a place still this day, just outside of the north wall of the city of Jerusalem, just outside of the Jaffa Gate, not too far away, will you find a place, bless God, where there is in a cliff, an image of a skull. It's so plain. It's so obvious. In Calvary, no doubt, was right there beside that that place known as the skull place, where two roads meet. Listen, it was a well-known place. It was a historic place, if you will. If you read back to the book of Genesis chapter 22, you'll find it to be the place that after 3 days' journey, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw it. It was called Mount Moriah. It was a place that God, Abraham in a type of God the Father, and Isaac in a picture and a type of Jesus Christ, mounted that mountain, leaving the two servants behind. I listen, a picture of that man crucified on the left of Christ and the other crucified on the right. And there they were, Abraham and his son, in the darkness, if you will, of those last 3 hours that Jesus was suspended at Calvary in the darkness. I believe Abraham said, listen, to the two lads, you stay here, and we'll go and worship, and we'll return again. Oh, isn't that amazing? Listen, 3 hours when Jesus hung on the cross, the first 3 hours, we're in light, but the last three of the six, It was in darkness. God the Father, God the Son did some eternal work that we're not privy to as to how it transpired and to what took place. But I'll tell you what, we received the benefits of it. Listen, I want you to know in those 3 hours, the cross became an altar. Jesus became the Lamb of God. And oh, friend, listen, an awful work by God the Father I was done on His Son that He loved for sinners like me and you. Isn't that amazing? Oh, what you think about this place called Calvary? It was a place that David bought from a man by the name of Ornan, when God was bringing judgment upon the nation of Israel. Oh, listen, friend, this was no accident that it happened here on this hill, at this place called Calvary on the hill, Moriah. Look, I want to stay, but I got to move. And I want you to look at the purpose, for there they crucified Him. Isn't that amazing? You know what? None of the four Gospel writers trying to describe crucifixion. The people in the days of the writing of the Gospels, whether it be the Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or even John, friend, they understood crucifixion. Many of them had witnessed it. Oh, it was the most cruel punishment that man had ever developed. How cruel sin is. How far man has fallen from the image of God. And you know, I've wondered for years, and I'm going to tell you what I've concluded. I've wondered why Jesus had to die the most cruel death that He did. Hey, the only way that I can think about answering my own question is this. God wanted us to see just how ugly sin is in His eye. Isn't that amazing? Oh, look, there's a lot of ways men have consigned other men to die. They do it today in capital punishment with lethal injection. But oh, look what our Savior suffered. Look what He endured. And there they crucified Him. Oh, look, I like this song that says, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. And in reality, now that I have connected myself with Christ, I did. You see, friend, when He died, I died. Oh, how wonderful a Savior to be willing to mount that mountain, to mount that old rugged cross, to be suspended between the heaven and the earth and allow God to lay upon Him my sin. Oh, listen, it's no wonder the writer could write a song that says, oh, oh, what a Savior. My, my, my. None of the four writers again of the Gospels or the accounts of the Gospels sought out to explain and describe crucifixion. It just said, and there they crucified Him. There they nailed His hands and His feet like the psalmist said He would. There, friend, all His bones were racked out of joint. There He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And you know what the purpose was, friend, in that crucifixion? So you and I could be saved. Oh, look, there was the people. There was the place. There was the purpose so that Jesus could become the sinner substitute, so that God's holiness could be satisfied, His justice and righteousness of the demands that they had against a lost humanity met. How wonderful the place was. Oh, it was gruesome, no doubt. Everyone again knew about it. Everyone wanted to avoid it. Ah, but Jesus said, for this purpose, for this cause, He said, actually, and for this hour came I into this world. Oh, He died, friend, so that you and I could live. But I want you to look at the positioning. And the Bible said, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, the one-on-one, the one on the, I can't see it for crying, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. Hey, can I tell you, sir, ma'am, can I ask you, rather, Which cross are you on? All those two men represent us. You know that, don't you? You know there's only two choices about eternity. There's only two choices about Jesus Christ. You either accept Him and allow Him to become your Savior so that you can enjoy, listen, that place that He's gone to prepare. Or you reject Him and die in your sins, and forever you'll pay for your sin without getting them paid for. Those two men, listen, that were suspended to the left and to the right of Jesus Christ. Before heaven and earth, friend, they represent me and you. You see, one of the earliest messages I preached as a young preacher, and it's still good today. I'm not saying it's not. It talks about these three crosses. And you know what? You know what the message really is in essence? How these three men represent all that there is. One man dying in sin, the man on the left. One dying out to sin, the man on the right. Because the one dying on the middle cross for our sin. Oh, where are you today? What position would you find yourself in? Now look, I've got to hurry. Time's gone. I want you to pay attention to the provoking in verse 39, where the one malefactor, the one on the left, began to criticize Jesus and say, hey, save thyself and us. But I want to hurry to the pleading in verses 40 through 42. That one man on the right said, listen. He said, listen, He said, listen, the other answering, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, and this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, now listen to the pleading, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, you think about that, friend. You think about this man. He started the day a condemned criminal, a criminal. He started the day doing even what the other malefactor had done. And that was criticized Jesus. Excuse me. They both were casting in their teeth and criticizing him. But he began to listen to what was being said. If thou be the Christ, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He even read the superscription in the language that he could read. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And something clicked inside. I've nothing to lose, but everything to gain. And he pleaded with Jesus and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, you think about that, friend. You think about that. Here is a man died. He was dying justly. And can I tell you, we're all going to die. That's the judgment God put upon mankind. In the beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, after they transgressed, after they disobeyed, and he was receiving his just due. Hey, friend, listen, if you and I received our just due, we'd end up in a place called hell. We'd end up eternally separated from God. But listen, the cause of Jesus, the place that he took, hey, the work that he did at a hill called Calvary. Listen, friend, he provided something amazing for me and you. You know what that malefactor crucified on the right of Jesus said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't maybe have much faith. Jesus didn't look much like a Savior, but somewhere or another he believed that he was. And look, now after the pleading, listen to the promise in verse 43. Jesus said unto him, verily or truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what that man on the right side of Jesus did? He died in peace. He died possessing a promise. He died, friend, full of hope, because he deposited his faith in what that man in the middle represented. Hey, can I tell you, sinner friend, God loves you today. God loves you. And you're dying, friend. We're not impaled on a cross. We're not nailed to a tree. We're not suspended between the heavens and the earth like these two malefactors were. But can I tell you, we've got the sentence of death upon us. We're as sure bound for eternity as those two men were that day. One died in darkness. One died lost and undone. And the other died, friend, in the light with the promises of paradise, eternal life, goodness and grace because he trusted Christ as his Savior. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you bow your head right where you're at, humble your heart and say, God, do what this man on the cross said. Remember me. That's that simple. Remember me. And you know what Jesus will do? He'll say, son. He'll say, sis, I'll remember you. He'll save you. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look to him. Look to him as you look at him at Calvary. He may not look like much, beaten and bruised and battered, all torn and tested because of my sin and yours. But he's the Savior. And he'll deliver you today. Do it right now. Do it because of this place called Calvary. God bless you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.